just reminded while we're singing and the things that were on Liv's heart to sing, to praise and to worship the Lord Jesus together. And I realise in doing that, or it reminded me at home in my little office, I've got this block of stone and it's kind of like about like this, and I picked it up years ago in Switzerland, and it's kind of grey in colour, and but in this lump of rock there is in white rock all the way through it a cross in the rock, and again you can look at it from both sides and see clearly this symbol, this picture of the cross, and it goes all the way through the rock. And I picked it up and kept it because it continues to remind me of the penetrating power of the cross. And I'm not going to, in a way, we're always talking about this, but it's not particularly an emphasis this morning, but I realise as we sing together that the work of the Lord Jesus at the cross is so significant, so powerful, so complete, that it penetrates all the way through. And there is not an area of our lives that the cross cannot impact or change or bring kind of substance or significance in every area of our lives. And why does this matter? Well, one of the reasons, and again, it's linked to what we were singing about this morning, and I just encourage us with it, is this, that wherever we find ourselves in our lives and in the reality of our lives, which varies probably all of the time for all of us, that's the nature of it, but because of the reality of the penetrating power of the cross and how that impacts us in our lives, it is entirely right and possible that always it is available to us that we can raise a hallelujah. Sometimes you might not necessarily feel much like raising a hallelujah, but because of what God has done in our hearts, it is of such significance and such substance. It goes to the bedrock and the reality of our lives, and it enables us to raise a hallelujah. Or we could put it another way, that he is able to give us garments of praise for a spirit of sometimes heaviness. But again, it is linked to the penetrating power of the cross. It's only possible to make that claim because of the significance and the depth to which the working of the redemptive power of God goes in our lives. Is this making sense? And it enables us continually to find a place in relationship to him where it's possible to raise a hallelujah. Sometimes that seems entirely impossible, but it is possible, and we've been doing it this morning and singing from wherever we are. Excuse me, I'm finding water. What I want to do this morning is kind of pick up a bit where I left off last time I shared a couple of weeks ago, and want to begin in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And really, what I am wanting to again just hold up for us and also hopefully give us some kind of application for is the way in which the Word of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God are, if you like, one and work together. We know that the Bible was breathed out by God. It couldn't be more significant, could it? And so anyway, I just want to kind of pick this up for us again this morning and go somewhere with it. It's really got my attention, these things, particularly at the moment. So we'll just begin Matthew chapter 5 from the beginning. And this is obviously really well known. If you know your Bible at all, this is a really well known passage of scripture. We're just going to read the first few verses. It says this: when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and then it goes on. And if you haven't read Matthew chapter 5 recently, I encourage you to do it. I'm not going to continue to read down, but the Lord Jesus obviously then is teaching his disciples. So he sat down, his disciples gather to him, they're coming, if you like, to the teacher, and they sit down, and Jesus begins to teach them. And he teaches them, if you read on, some pretty earth-shattering, life-changing truths. And it also throws us in dependency back on the Lord Jesus to be able to work out in our own lives the things that he's teaching. And he's like that. He teaches us things. We listen. We learn to listen. He teaches us things. And then he enables us by his spirit, by his grace, by his life, to work out, to embody those things in and through our lives. It's comprehensive, isn't it? So anyway, his disciples come to him. And it's interesting to me, his disciples come to him, and Jesus takes the moment to begin to teach them, to speak to them, to teach them. And a disciple, as we know, this is just like a bit of a beginning place, really, but if we think about a disciple, we know we're thinking about a follower of the Lord Jesus in this case. But another word that I find really helpful when we're thinking in these terms of our relationship to Jesus, and we can use another word and we can think about an apprentice. I find it really helpful, and it kind of gets it kind of practical and real to me. And we can think about apprenticeship and apprentices and being an apprentice, a follower in this way of Jesus. And in a sense, every disciple is apprenticed to Jesus. An apprentice would spend, if we put this into a kind of context of working life in this country or lots of other places, an apprentice would spend a great deal of time with the master, maybe craftsman. And he's apprenticed to the master craftsman. And so to be apprenticed to somebody, you're going to have to spend time with them. And you're going to spend time with them. And part of what you're going to do is you're going to be watching. You're going to attend to the master craftsman. You're going to be engaged. You're going to attend. You're going to watch. And as you attend and as you watch, you learn. And in part of this apprenticeship learning process, it's almost as you are doing this, you are somehow imbibing the character and the essence and the overflow of the years of practice of the master, and you attend to them. It's rich, isn't it? And you attend, and this is part of what happens. And in the doing of this, there is the necessity in being apprenticed to anybody to listen to them, to listen well. And if you're going to listen, you're going to have to quieten yourself and all your preconceived notions of the right way of going about stuff, because really what you're wanting to do is learn. And so in part of attending to the master, we are listening to him. And in doing these things, we will be learning from him. And those things, I think, we find in this scene at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And as we apprentice to Jesus, here's the miracle. As we apprentice to Jesus, we become more like him. That's the point, isn't it? It is. I like the nodding. It's great. It is. We become more like him, which is a beautiful thing. And in the doing of this, if you like, clumsy way of putting it, but in the doing of this, and as we become more like him, we are transformed. We are transformed. And we grow in, if I can put it like this, a family likeness to Jesus. It's like you become more like him. And then somebody gets to know you, and it's like they can see a resemblance. Why? Because you've spent time with the Master, and you've quietened yourself so that you can listen and observe and learn and be changed and formed, transformed by the Lord Jesus himself. And it's beautiful, isn't it? And this goes on all of our lives. How are you getting on? How are you getting on? He's beautiful, isn't he? So it stands to reason, forgive me, that we would become more beautiful over time as we continue to apprentice to him. I find this a great challenge at times, because I think, man, I'm not sure. Is this happening in your life in certain places? And it's like, Lord Jesus, help me. I want to attend to him. And so here we go. This is now the point, really, that I'm trying to make, or where we're heading with this, as we think about apprenticing to Jesus and becoming more like him and growing in that sense, in beauty, because of that reality, is this. One, and this is what we find at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, one of the primary ways. So there might be a variety of ways, but one of the primary ways that Jesus teaches us of himself and reveals himself is through his word. Isn't it? Are you finding this to be so? Yes. It's good. And it encourages me. One of the primary ways. And this is what he was doing through the Sermon on the Mount. Gathers the disciples to him. They sit down together in this familial, if you like, relationship. And then Jesus teaches them. And then those teachings become scripture, and we have them. And we can learn from them, and we can be changed by them, and we can, if you like, absorb them and be nourished by them. And this also, this is what he was doing. Do you remember, after the resurrection, there were two disciples, and they were walking to a place called Emmaus. And it says that Jesus came and joined himself to them on their journey. That's got to be nice. And he does that for us. And he came and he joined himself to them. And then as you read down, let's do it. We might jump around a little bit like this. Luke, right at the end, obviously, Luke 24. And it says this. I'm just going to have to jump in. So Jesus has met these disciples. He's journeying with them. This is important. He's journeying with them. They are confused that Jesus doesn't appear to know everything that's been going on in the area in those days. But then it says this in verse 27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures that they currently had at that point. And it's beautiful. Jesus comes and he joins with those disciples on their journey where they were going. And then as that is happening, he takes an extended amount of time to go through all of Scripture to show himself to them and the things that were prophesied and the things that were to have happened, which had happened. And he explains, if you like, himself through the Scriptures that were available to them. It's wonderful. He does this. And he takes, he teaches, he grows us, it seems to me, in this way. And you just find in this encounter, and beginning with Moses, he revealed himself. He revealed himself through the word to his disciples. He continues to do this. The purpose seems to me, the purpose, and there's many purposes, but the purpose of the Scripture, of the Word, the purpose of the Scripture is to reveal Jesus to us. This is what he did for them on the road. He showed them, if you like, he revealed and made known himself to them through the Scriptures. And then we have the Scriptures. And we can see the Old Testament in so many ways pointing forward to Jesus and the cross. And we see also later this pointing back in that historical sense to Jesus. And Jesus continues to reveal himself to us through the Scriptures. And in doing this, he enables us to see. This is another analogy, another picture that we find in the Bible. But he gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. That is to say that illumination happens and comes through the exposition of Jesus through the Word of God. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's like, how about... Do you know, I read this the other day. The Bible continues to be the most printed book in the world, and at the same time seems to be the most unread book in the world. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? We seem to have this reverence for the Bible, and we print a lot of them, but not so much reading of it. It's a really good challenge, isn't it? And then you see the way that the Lord Jesus, as a primary thing, as a significant thing, he uses the Bible to reveal himself to us. And I just kind of think, when we love Jesus and we approach his word in a right way, it will minister Jesus to us. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Let me read this. just thinking about the need for, obvious thing to say, for eyes that see. To be able to see is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And yes, let me read this from Psalm 119. And again, I encourage you, read Psalm 119 along these lines. But I'll just start verse 103, Psalm 119. And he says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And again, there's so much more if you reiterating essentially this point as you read down here. But I just highlight this for us because, again, we see here this a lamp to my feet. And in this image, a lamp to my feet, there's, if you like, the immediacy of every step. And it's like the word can bring enough light for the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Also, we can find a light to my path. So it's bigger, isn't it, in that sense. There's the immediacy of my everyday. There's also this longer kind of journey, this vision, this context of my whole life, a light to my path. And we can find that through his word, he continues to speak to us, to illuminate for us, so that we are not in the dark. And it seems to me very definitely that within any generation, but within our generation, within our culture, within our context, that we are in the dark without the book. We are. Because it is the book, as he brings it alive to us, that enables us to see clearly all things pertaining to, if I can nick this, life and godliness. He shows us himself through his word. He brings illumination. He brings an ability to see. He brings wisdom in terms of how he brings purpose and meaning. Where do we find all of this? Well, this is a really good place to mine and to look and to discover, because we find all of these things for all of life. He has gifted to us through his word, and it is very much a part of his revealing of himself to us by his spirit through his word, and we treasure it. We do. And it is like it brings illumination, it brings light, without which we simply cannot see. If we remove light, we not only have darkness, but we have blindness, don't we? We do. And we cannot see where we're going. There are no reference points. It's like the Bible is a compass, and it's always pointing in the right direction. And we need to align ourselves by God's enabling and grace and by his spirit, but with his word. And as this happens in our lives and we increasingly embody the truth of the Bible, it brings a clarity and a vision and a purpose and an enabling for all of our lives and for anything that we might encounter. Do you think? Tony agrees with me, and for this I am grateful. Thank you, Tony. It's wonderful. And I just want to celebrate this, really, and highlight it for us. Where there is light, there is revealing. What is it revealing? It is revealing Jesus to me in increasing measure continually. It is enormous. And he continues to reveal himself to me through his word. And he brings it alive to me by his spirit. And it seems to me we are entirely in the dark without it. Where there is light, there is a revealing, a making known, a seeing of what is. And where's this? This is it was still Psalm 119. I'm just seeing if I've got this. Bear with me. It's really bad when you don't write. Here we go. I've got it. Psalm 119, I'm just going to jump in, verse 15. And it says, I will meditate. Meditation takes time. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight, that's nice, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Here it is. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Oh, that's good. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things. Who wants to see wonderful things? Isn't it? I think more and more in this way in relation to the Bible, and I'm so grateful to the Lord, more and more I think in these terms, I think, beautiful. I don't think textbook. I think beautiful. And the psalm says, gift to me illumination, that I may see wonderful things. And the book, it is full from the beginning to the end of wonderful things. Some of these wonderful things, some people don't see beauty in. But when light comes and illumination comes and we see clearly, and if you like, for the first time we see clearly, we see that the book, it is full of wonderful things. Everything within it is wonderful things. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I don't know who did this, but I was having a little thought about the night sky without light pollution, and you look at the stars, and it's just like, whoa, wonderful things. And it's the same kind of idea, and it's just like, it's enormous. It's enormous, and it is full of wonderful things. And Jesus, by his Spirit, can continue to bring to us illumination, discovery of himself, as we read and absorb, if you like, truth, he is truth, truth from his word. And it's like, yes, Lord, yes, please. And we move on. Oh yeah, let me say this. You might think I'm on right dodgy ground, but stay with me for a minute. So when I'm thinking about these things, and we're thinking about wonderful things, here's a thought. The text is not enough on its own. The text is not enough on its own. Why do we say this? Partly because the Word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable in the discovery of the truth of God. And if you divorce these two, you end up with error. You don't end up with truth ever. Because the Word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable in the discovery of truth, in the illumination of Jesus. That's truth. So the text is not enough on its own. I'm not going to turn there just now, but to make this point, you could read in John chapter 5, and the Lord Jesus is talking to some right religious folk, and he says to them, you guys, you search the scripture because you think that in them, in and of themselves, there's life. And he says to them, but I am that, if this is my kind of little paraphrase, but look it up, John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. And he says, but I am they which speak of me. And then he says, but you won't come to me that you might have life. So it seems to be entirely possible to read the Bible and not come to Jesus. Incredible. Incredible. But we, in our own human capacity, have an ability to read often. We're very privileged if we do. Some people can't. But if we can read, then we can read the Bible. Let me read something to us. This is a little book came across. Johnny, he's had a bit of airtime recently from Johnny Peakrig. And let me read this to us. It says this. I'm going to. He initially quotes C.S. Lewis, and then he expounds on it a little bit. It is, so this is C.S. Lewis, it is Christ himself, not the Bible, who is the true word of God, writes C.S. Lewis. The Bible, read in the right spirit and with the guidance of good teachers, will bring us to him, to Jesus. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Some people will inevitably worry that such a focus on Christ as the preeminent word of God might detract from the authority of the Bible as God's word. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible is the primary means by which we become familiar with both the purposes and the personality of its subject, Jesus Christ. And here, he's referring again to the Emmaus Road. And here in the Emmaus Road story, we find a dynamic picture of the dance between God's word in the Bible and his final word in Jesus. Each one points to the other. Our subjective personal encounters with Jesus are counterbalanced by our more objective examination of his word in the Bible. One without the other simply doesn't work. Hearing God begins with Jesus, and leads us immediately to Scripture, which in turn points us back to Christ. Safe, isn't it? It begins with Jesus, and he, through his word, illuminates, in this sense, Jesus to us. The word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable. And if we are to come to know truth, to discover Jesus through the Bible, reading the Word, without the Spirit, tends to either legalism or liberalism. Both are error. I have known people, well-meaning people, who have taken the Word of God, separate from the Spirit of God, and they have abused people with text from the Bible. It is entirely wrong and not the Spirit of God. And it is possible to do this, and we can tend to legalism in that sense. And the other side of it is this: pursuing spiritual experiences not rooted in and consistent with the Bible tends to fanaticism. That's the other side of it. Pursuing spiritual experiences not rooted in and consistent with the Bible tends to fanaticism. So, reading the Word, with the illumination of the Spirit, brings us to truth and to transformation. Truth brings transformation. As we embody the truth of the Bible, it transforms us inevitably. It's wonderful. I am grateful for this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we see this: to be transformed, metamorphosed, however you say that, by the renewing of your mind. And it is this way in which God can do a miracle. And he can bring about transformation. And he can do it by his Spirit through his word. And it's wonderful to me. So what I'm trying to do for us this morning, I'm trying to hold up and highlight the wonderful things of the Bible. And how they become, if I can put it like this, living verse and real to us and bear fruit in our lives is by the illumination of the Spirit of God as we read. And we can read the Bible in different ways. And what I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes is an introduction to an approach. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. And one of the things that I like to encourage in myself and in all of us, as we approach the Bible, however you do it, is at least include this aspect that I want to highlight for us this morning. And again, it's holding together in perfect harmony the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and allowing it to penetrate our hearts and our lives, and not just our minds, but allowing it to go deep and to work a transforming work. Are you in need of transformation in an ongoing sense? I know a day when I was transformed, but I am utterly in need of ongoing transformation in my life. And God, in his genius, has gifted us this, and he has gifted us his Spirit, and he uses these things to bring about transformation in our lives. Now, so what I'm going to highlight for us, and actually you'll find it in this little book here, How to Hear God, but the emphasis that I want to bring for us this morning is about something that people have called for hundreds and hundreds of years. So this is not a new thing, so don't worry. Lectio Divina, which simply means sacred reading, and some of us might have come across this, but I want to highlight it for us because I think it's really helpful as an approach to reading the Bible. So it's like really practical, and there's a kind of acronym, which again I'm just going to go through really quickly. We might pick this up at another time, but I want to highlight it for us because I think it's a really helpful part of our, if you like, daily lives in our approach to the Bible. And you can read the Bible in different ways, but I want to encourage this. So this acronym PRAY is like this. Pause, puffer pause, pause, read and reflect. It's like this takes a bit of time, this. Read and reflect. Ask. Yield. So as we go through those things, pause. So we take a bit of time in the day at some point. And if you pause, and I think we're really in need of this, particularly in current culture, we're in need of it anyway, but particularly it's poignant in culture. Pause quietly, prepare your heart. So often our hearts and minds are full of all sorts of things. And they're not necessarily, hopefully, bad things, but just stuff. Right, in our house at the moment, if I think, what are priority thoughts in our house at the moment as I go round my family? Okay, here they are. Horses, fishing, gardening, that's me. It's just like, it's getting to that time where you plant seeds again. It's really exciting. So it's like, there's stuff, and there's other things. But these things, so Izzy at the moment, and this is going to go on for a while, it's like revision for GCSEs, that's high on the agenda. And good for her, she's very conscientious and it's great. So all of these things are good things. Horses are good things. It's great. But What I might need to do, and all of us need to do, is whatever it is for us, is to take a minute, and it's like I'm going to pause quietly from all those things. And so it does take a pause sometimes, if your mind is full of stuff, to just quieten your little self down. And I'm just going to pause. And then, read and reflect, I'm going to slowly. Do you know, I think doing things slowly in our culture is a right challenge. Because we are really conditioned to do things rapidly and get on to the next task that I must achieve before the end of the day. And it's like, no, forget it, forget it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute and we're going to pause and we're going to read and reflect. You can't read and reflect in a hurry. You can't do it. So don't try. So slowly read all of these things. There's richness here. That's why I'm holding it up for us. Read, rejoice, reflect, and repeat. It's like, do it again. Go over, let the word, let the Bible speak to you. Like, suck the marrow out of it. Really. And it might take a minute. That's all right, because it's a priority. So slowly read, rejoice, reflect, and repeat. I'll tell you where you can get all this information from in a minute. Ask. Ask. Turn your reflections. So that which has come into your awareness and focus through the reading and the reflecting, then you can pray, if you like, you can ask, you can be moved along that line of those things that have come to your attention. Turn your reflections into prayer. And then the last one, yield. I told my wife I wasn't going to speak for very long this morning, but it didn't work. A yield. This is the last one. Yield. It's great, this. Enjoy it. Yield. So after all of these things, yield. And we could put it, he puts it like this. Enjoy the presence of God. Fancy that. Fancy that. Johnny quoted a poem recently about the clarity, something about this, the clarity of the light of early morning. It's a bit like that. It's like you can have such clarity when you just make time, and you could use that picture, the early morning, and just giving some of it, if you like, to Jesus in this way. And a consequence of all of this, pausing for a minute, enjoying the presence of God. I think we're all in a lot of need of a bit of enjoyment of God. Do you know God, in this sense, if I can put it like this, makes him, this is an appalling way of putting it, but anyway, makes himself available to us to enjoy him. To enjoy him. What a beautiful gift. And he makes himself accessible to us by his Spirit through his word. So, little plug, because those things there, that pray, comes from this thing, Lectio 365. So Pete Gregg, he's put this great website thing together, so you can look it up, Lectio 365. I'm recommending it to us. Have a go. Have a go. Just take a minute. Just pause and allow God to speak to you. Allow God to speak to you through his word. And here's the thing, and I'll close. It is my prayer. It is my prayer that we will approach the Bible not as a textbook, but as the living word of God, illuminated by the Spirit of God, and bringing wonder and transformation in our lives. This is my prayer for myself. And for us, and we will find that we continue to be being changed in this way. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to finish. Tea and coffee is available. The riches of the majesty of God. He makes available to us by his Spirit through his word. And he shows us wonderful things. And you think, oh, to see the Bible in this way makes me hungry for Jesus through his word. Lord Jesus, the extravagance of your gifts to us are incredible, beyond words. But we thank you this morning. And we thank you for all of the beauty that you will continue to illuminate to us. Lord, I want to just thank you this morning for the Bible. And thank you for your Spirit that can illuminate yourself to us through your word. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, as we just pause in amongst our ordinary lives and just take a minute to read prayerfully and thoughtfully and with open hearts your word, I pray that you would be speaking to us individually and corporately by your Spirit through your word. That you would give us eyes to see with freshness and new clarity, a new distinction, that we would be seeing beauty and wonder and majesty and your glory all over the place. Lord, I pray that you would be helping us to reimagine again our approach to receiving from you in this way. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for the wonder of your word this morning. Amen.